This morning we're back into 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, Samuel 17. We are teaching on the subject of David, and really is David is a man of faith, because there's a lot of things about faith that we can see, especially with David. There's a lot of things that really fit into the faith life, fit into David's faith life, a lot of things that that we'll be able to see and understand here. Now, we have come up to the standpoint in this teaching about David that his dad sent him to go see how his brothers were doing, that the Philistines and the Israel are supposed to be at a so-called war. Really, they're not fighting for 40 days. They're on a mountain on either side. And so he comes. And anyhow, David finds out about this thing with Goliath. And he found out that there was this, that whoever would beat this Goliath, that the king was going to make the guy rich, give him his daughter, and also exempt the family from taxes. So David heard about that. We talked about that, David was focusing on the prize. He wasn't focusing on Goliath. He was focusing on the prize. And we're going to look at a little bit. Today we'll talk somewhat about why David, you know, is focusing on the prize rather than on Goliath. And last week we had finished and read through the scriptures where David was taken to Saul. Saul heard about the report. And They asked David to come to see Saul, because he heard about David. They heard, who's this guy out here talking about licking this giant, you know, and because everybody else is afraid of him. And let's start at verse 32. I'm going to reread just from verse 32. It says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" speaking of Goliath, "'your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" And he said, and Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from the mouth from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught by its beard and struck it and killed it." And he said, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So we have here this instance. One of the things that we have here with David, David is speaking by faith. David's not talking about going down and trying to fight this guy. David's totally convinced he's going to lick this guy. He's totally convinced of the fact. I'm going down here. And we're going to find out why, you know, David is convinced of this fact. But, you know, Saul makes a statement and says, "But you're a youth." But remember back when we read before, when they were looking for somebody to play music for Saul, and one of Saul's men made mention of David and said, "He's a warrior." They said, "This guy's a warrior. See, he plays music, but he's a warrior." And now Saul comes along, and Saul's looking, "Yeah, you're with you. This guy was a warrior." Well, I'm going to tell you, David's sure talking like a warrior. You know, I don't know how Saul and them can conceive that they're warriors. They're afraid to go fight. See, this is one thing. See, unbelief will have you saying the most dumb and stupid things you've ever seen in your life. And it will. These men are afraid. And their fear is causing them to say, come to the most stupid conclusions on things that you've ever heard in your life. Saul's standing here talking to this guy, telling him, "You can't go down and fight him. While you're young, this guy survived his youth." Well, what about you, Saul? You're a head taller than everybody else in Israel. What about all these other guys out here? Nobody. All the guys in the army are afraid. And their fears are causing them to make bad decisions. They can't see, fear, operating in fear, you will never make right decisions. You won't. Fear will always cause you to see things differently than they really are. I've seen it already with people that were afraid of something, and you know, most of the time, people's fears never even come to pass in their life. They never even happen. The things they're afraid of never take place. But yet, it governs what they do. They let that fear govern the decisions that they're going to make about stuff. You know, and the things that they never, I'm not doing this or doing that because, boy, what about this and what about that? People get into fear of things and they'll start their decisions. So you don't want to make decisions under fear. And this is what they're doing. So he looks at David. David is talking faith. David is talking, look, I'm going to beat this guy. David's interest was in the prize because he was convinced that he was going to beat the Philistines. So I want to know what the prize is. I can lick the guy. This is not a problem. I can lick the boy. So let's go lick the boy. I want to know what you get for licking the guy. So this is what he's after. So he is set to do it. He is convinced that he said, the Lord will deliver me. God's going to deliver me. In other words, I know he will. If I go down there, he's going to deliver me. So he's convinced to that. And so Saul goes, well, okay, go ahead down. Well, then Saul does in verse 38, said, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And here's where he's dealing in the areas of David's walking by faith. David is totally convinced. Now, Saul is going to dress this man up in his armor. Now David's just using good wisdom. You know, it isn't in the time when the battle is going on to test out the new gun. I don't want to be the guy testing it. Give me the one I know it works. The new one might be a better one if it works. But if it don't work for me, if I don't know how to use it. David evidently had never been into battle with any kind of wearing armor. You know, he didn't fight bears and lions with armor on. He didn't go out and wear armor and things. That don't mean armor was a bad thing, but he didn't. He didn't fight in. So David had enough sense. So, and understand this in the use of your faith. You know, God knows what you do naturally and what you can do. And God, if God has promised to deliver David, he didn't say, I'll deliver you if you got the best armor in town. You know, when you think about until Israel, we talked about this before, till Israel had a king, Israel had no standing army. Yet they would go out and beat other armies. So it couldn't be because of having all the best. When Saul became king, and if you read the story with Saul and his son and some of the battles, some of the things that took place with them, one audience that they were fighting the Philistines, Saul and his son Jonathan were the only two in the Israeli army who had swords. They're the only two. Nobody else in the army had a sword. They fought with all kinds of stuff. This is one of the biggest misgivings, you know, today is, you know, America. This is why America can't win a war, because America is totally, it's about your weapons or what. That's what's going to make you the biggie. If God ain't working with you, you can have what you think is the best. Now, if having the best stuff made you the winner, then obviously Goliath would be the winner in the story. It's obvious. Having the best stuff isn't what makes you the best. And we need to, you know, get into a better thinking when it comes to God. Most of the time, people's faith is limiting God. David's not going to limit God. God's sending him down there, and David is going to get down to win a battle, and he's going to get out. God's going to help him with what he has and who he is, not what Saul is and what Saul has. And so this is why, you know, so many people think that others have an advantage over them. I see Christians, you know, all the time. I've heard, like, you know, ministers, I have a guy comes to me and he was traveling minister. And if I could just get into one or two of these big churches, that would just open the door to meet all these other places. And so he's looking about, if I could, you know, I could be a success if I could get to, you know, into something like that. And I told him, no, you couldn't. I said, that ain't what's going to make you a success. That's not going to, you're not going to fulfill the will of God because you try the strategies of men. Well, you know, it's like, well, if I just get to know the right people, then if I know the right guy, then I'm going to, then that's, well, yeah, you might get ahead for a time. There's loads of people that got promoted. I've seen guys in ministry when I started off. My God, I know guys that started off and boy, it seemed like they were just blowing up, going through things, and they ain't even in the ministry today. They're gone. So it don't, staying in the ministry, doing the will of God, ain't got nothing to do with following men's ideas. And so David is just going to walk in what he knows. He's going to meet the enemy with the weapons that he knows and he's familiar with. So, and understand this. You can't meet the enemy trying to do what somebody else does. That isn't how you meet. Whatever you're doing in your life and you come against, you know, well, so-and-so tried this or so-and-so did this. You got to know what you're doing. What are you confident in? What are you confident concerning God doing for you? Before we got started, we were talking about faith. You have to know where you can stand, not where somebody else stood. You got to know where you can stand. Where can I stand? What can I believe God would do? What do I know what the Word says? And so David is standing. David is totally convinced he could lick that. David was convinced he could lick this guy before he ever put on Saul's armor. So David had no belief that Saul's armor was going to give him the victory. He didn't have any belief in that. So he believed that he had the victory before him. So David is not in faith about weapons, but he's in faith about God. And see, there's a lot of times that are different. You know, people get in faith, they think that they have what they need to do something. They're talking about faith in God, but really they're not in faith with God. They're in faith about what they have. And faith in God is faith in what His Word said. Because if what I have fails me or what I have ain't there tomorrow, well then, I'll tell you what will happen. My faith will go along with it. My faith is gone. And see, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So what I have around me, what is tangible around me, it does not change God whether I have it there today or tomorrow. Faith should stay the same. If I'm believing what God will do for me, it doesn't matter what changes around me. And so David is set on the fact that he can beat this guy. In verse 40 of 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, it says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. So here David is. David has a sling. Now, I want you to, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and they would talk about David had a slingshot, you know, and David had a slingshot. Well, David didn't have what we call a slingshot. That's not what he had. I want to show you something, because the one reason that people never learn faith out of this story is because they made it into a little children's story and they defeated what God was trying to show people. This is not some little kid's story about some little boy who's out there. It's not a little precious moments figure. Oh, that makes me puke when I see those things. They make a David Goliath and it looks like he's a little precious. That's not what went on there. This is a war. It's a battle. There's a guy out here who's a giant. This is a war. You know, this is about David's life. This isn't... You see, people... A sling is not a kid's toy. It is a weapon that they used in their armies. It wasn't a kid's toy. It's a weapon. In fact, we have, if you turn to Judges, the 20th chapter, it talks about the armies, about Israel's army, that the ones that they had to go out. It said, now listen what it says in verse 15. He said, and from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gilead, who were numbered 700 select men. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left left-handed, everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Man, this was the sniper's weapon. This is an accurate weapon. This ain't a toy that David's carrying. See, this is one of the great misconceptions, that David is just, you know, some kind of... I'm going to tell you what. This is why Christians get defeated. Because the Bible talks about we are supposed to be soldiers. The Bible talks us to us, the New Testament teaches us that we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're in a warfare. Most Christians can't win in faith because they're not soldiers. You know, the Bible says our weapons are warfare, mighty through God. Most people don't even know what their weapon is. They have no clue. They have never used it. They don't understand. And so it's just like with David. David's not going up against a guy with no weapon. David has a very accurate weapon. It said these guys could get so accurate with him. You know, in other words, you could split a hair. This is no toy. You know, David's smart. You don't want to go out and fight Goliath hand-to-hand combat. Give me a break. He'll eat your lunch. This isn't some little kid not knowing what's going on. This guy understands what's going on. He understands what's happening. You kill this. Why would he pick up five stones? He picks up five stones because he thinks he has more than one shot at this guy. He's not going to fight him hand-to-hand combat. He's going to stay away from him. He's going to get close enough to hit him, but he ain't going into hand-to-hand combat. He's a warrior. He knows his weapon, you know? See, Saul's good with a sword, but that means hand-to-hand. You've got to stand up on top of this guy. Well, dear Lord, this guy's sword could reach you before your arm, you couldn't even get near him. David's smart. David's using a weapon that is a very accurate weapon. They still, you know, they use these things today, are still used in some of the Middle East cultures. They still use these things and that stuff. I was watching a thing on TV one time, these guys in using things. They had these things showing weapons on TV and guys using them. Amazing. Use them things. They're killers. You don't want to get whacked with a stone. Well, and David went down, he got smooth stones. Why? Because aerodynamics makes it better for accuracy and everything else. You don't want to, these people weren't some kind of heathens crawled out of a cave somewhere and didn't know anything. But see, people don't understand, and they look at David as some kind of little child, and so then people act like, well, you know, you don't really have to know much to be a person of faith. You better know. You better be a warrior. Because when you step out into the battle of faith, the devil is going to do things that are going to make you look like you're going to lose. And if all you are is a little kid, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go whining to mom and dad. I don't understand why it's not working for me. But people made this into a little kid story. They didn't tell. This is about a war. This is about a bad battle. This is about a guy going out. This is a fight. People are going to kill each other. And David is going out with a real weapon. And it's one of the things that is we need to know, a person of faith is going to have wisdom. You're going to have wisdom. Faith is going to give you wisdom. You're going to believe God. This is one thing about, when you're believing God, you can see things the way that they really are. You know, David is going out against this guy. He doesn't have fear blinding him. He's not afraid to fight this guy. He knows what he needs to do. He knows what he needs to accomplish. And so he's going after it, and he's going to follow out the plan. He's going down there. He's going to obey God. So David went down there. He looks for the right kind of stone. Why? He got a weapon. You know, it's like you don't want to load a weapon with the wrong stone, with the wrong, you know, projectile. So there's a reason he's doing it. But David's idea is going down there. This isn't going to be something this guy, he said, I'm going to have, in other words, this guy ain't going to kill me right away. He ain't going to do this thing. I'm going to have more than one shot. David's going down there looking at the fact of, hey, I got some time. I'm not going to let this guy rush. He's not going to control the fight. I am. I'm the guy in faith. God's helping me. I'm going to be in control of the battle, not him. You know, I've heard people come up with all kinds of reasons why he chose five stones and that, 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 that. This is a battle. David wasn't a philosopher. This is about faith in a battle. This is what it's about. But I'll tell you, and see it, view it that way. Don't get those children's story things that you've been taught in the past. Get that out of your mind about this thing. This is not some little kid's story and a guy who doesn't understand what's going on. David fought a lion and a bear. How many little kids you know ever fought a lion and a bear and killed them? This ain't some kind of little children's story like they teach it. See, they've taken the power out of the story. They've taken the power out of having faith in God. You know, when you and I walk by faith, it's not all God, it's us too. You know, if faith in God meant that I could just be an ignoramus and not know anything or do anything, and God would just make me a champion, well, it don't work like that. That ain't the way it happens. It's God in us. Bible says we're workers together with Him. So there's things that we need to know, we need to do. You know, the Bible talks about God supplying all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I mean, in other words, God we don't all go just sit down someplace and manna's going to fall out of heaven on us. You know, somebody had to work to get some money somewhere. You know, we're going to need money sometime to buy food or whatever it is we need. And So God doesn't, it doesn't mean that we don't have a part that we don't play. And that's just where people miss it. They look like David went down there and it didn't matter what he had. It didn't matter. It did matter what he had. He had to have something to kill the giant with. God didn't tell him he was going to kill him with a lightning bolt. You know, if he was going to kill him with a lightning bolt, David didn't have to go down there. So David's going down to fight the guy. So, David's just walking by faith. So David goes down there in verse 41 of 1 Samuel 17 says, so the Philistines came and began to draw near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. It says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, good looking. So the guy, ruddy is where that word means reddish. He was reddish in appearance. Was reddish. He says he was good looking. But now think about this. Here comes Goliath. Goliath, now you get the picture. Goliath, 9'9", at least. Maybe taller. Maybe he's about 10 feet tall. He has about at least 126 pounds of coat of mail on. He's got a sword, a spear, and a javelin. And walking in front of him is a guy who's carrying a shield. Now, if you really think about it, David's really smart in his choice. Because, really, the only thing David has on this man is a headshot. You forget your sword. Why take a sword down there? The only chance you got at this guy is a headshot. That's what you got. And a sling is a very accurate weapon. You know, a sling, I don't remember anymore, but they were saying that show that I watched on TV, that the speed that those sling can throw a stone, it'll break the sound barrier. They can actually sling them fast enough to break something. Do you ever see those, you know, slingshots that they use, those ones that they make, those special jobs and all that kind of stuff, they make people hunt with them. Dear God. But the sling type that they had, those kind, the stone could actually break a sound barrier on those. Could be. So in other words, you can't see the projectile, which is great because it makes it harder for the person to block it. See, God's an old dummy. God's sending a guy down there who's good with a sling. And God's going to help him. See, David's going down with what he got and what he can do. And God's going to get behind it. God's just going to help him do it. So this guy, I mean, here's this huge guy down there. David's really got a shot at his head. You know, if the guy's wearing a helmet and you got a shot at his face and forehead, you know, that's where you got your shot. That's it. That's all you have. And, unless you just want to hit him on the knuckles and so he can't carry his sword or something, I don't know. But anyhow, he's going down after him. So it says that he disdained him. In other words, that word means to scorn, or he had just contempt. In other words, it's like, this isn't even worthy of me. So you start to see the attitude of this guy, you know. You know, he thinks because somebody is smaller than him. So this guy is on the thing. All of his confidence is in what he has and is all about being big. Being big. And that's been one of the problems, you know, even with America, with our wars and stuff that have been going on. One of our biggest problems is we think because we're big, we can win. And we have this idea if we just get bigger and bigger, if we can just build bigger military, bigger weapons, bigger. But yet we go fight countries and what happens? The guys out there running around the mountains in Afghanistan, guys running around the jungles in Vietnam. Can't stop them. Why can't stop them? Because we're just going to beat them because we're big. Because we got the best weapons. This is this guy's thinking. That's what he is. This is Philistine thinking. I'm big, got the big stuff, you send this guy out here. This stupid man don't realize this guy has a weapon. It's a real weapon that can kill him. But he thinks because he's a little guy, ha! You know, who are you coming out to me in this thing? I mean, they sent out number one, he's good looking. Ah, you see, the guy's good looking, you know, so, ha! Why would you send you? If you're tough, you're going, ah, rah, rah, rah. You don't want to be too pretty. he's like reddish color. They said, you know, people talk about David had red hair and stuff. Well, so here he comes. He has a shepherd's pouch, and that's what he's carrying. And he's with a sling, and he also has a staff. Now, that's his thing. Now, he has no armor on. He's got a staff, which was probably a staff that he regularly carried, probably used with the sheep and that kind of stuff and things and other things. Then again, now you don't take that those shafts and staves, those guys, you know, you're good handling one of those things, you can hurt some people. those were good for that. So, but see, you get the picture. And this guy really is, hey, I'm big. Here he is, Dan David's out there. He's got a guy with a shield walking in front of him. He's got all this armor down there. And he says, ha. It's like, you know, it's like you walking up through, you know, it's like the guy who would think, you know, I'm in a tank and who are you? You're out there standing and who are you? You know, well, today you get a small grenade launcher and you can blow the tank up. So it's like, well, okay. But he doesn't realize really what you got here. You got a guy that's like a tank and you got this guy over here and he walks up and he got this little weapon and this guy thinks, ha, you can't stop me. He don't know that little weapon. It's knowing their vulnerability, you know, David's after this guy's vulnerability. David didn't shoot, swing his sling and leave go and just, well, wherever this thing goes. David was aiming for something. David was aiming for his head. That's what he was aiming for. So we go on here. The story, verse 43 says, so the Philistine said to David, now he's going to do his talking. He said, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? See, all he's looking at, he sees the stick. He sees the stick. You come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Dumb. He's not only got David as his enemy, God is. So the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. So, we see that this man is total confidence is really in himself, who he is, what he is. This is what he is. And here's where we begin to look at David. Here's what makes a difference, and here's the thing of faith. This principle stands for anything that you stand in faith with. And look at what David now, this man says his thing. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and with a javelin. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. David is not talking about what he has. David's not talking about his abilities and that stuff. This guy, here's where people miss it. Their faith is in themselves. Many people miss it in Christianity because their faith is really in themselves, in what they can do or how they can believe. David's not discussing any of that. David is discussing. David comes and he said, look, this is what you come to me with. This is what I come to you with. I'm coming to you with this. I'm coming to you. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is what I'm coming. And the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This is my biggie weapon. My biggie weapon's unseen. My biggie is unseen. You don't see my God, but I'm going to tell you what. You're going to find out what He's going to do. And this is what, no matter what you come to in faith, faith is in God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Not by, you know, people get over so focused on themselves. God's Word will do what it says because God's behind His Word. It's God. When I'm coming against something, no matter what it might be is in my life that I'm, you know, standing against, God will deliver me. God's going to do it, not me. I believe in Him to do it for me. I'm believing He is going to accomplish this thing. I'm going to trust Him. I'll do my part, but He's going to make sure it works. He's the guy that's going to make, that's what's going to win this. That's what's going to win the day. So whether it's like sickness, no matter sickness comes up or anything like that comes on to you, you got to be convinced. Hey, God's going to take care of this. I will be delivered. He will deliver me from this. He's going to do it. And have your confidence in Him, not your confidence. Too many people have too much confidence in what they have in their own faith, and their faith is really not in God. It's all about their believing. No, God will do it. I have faith in Him. I, lots of times, can't trust me. I may not respond always as well as I would like. I may not do, but I'll tell you what, He will always, God will always do what's right. He will never become intimidated no matter what the enemy is. He'll not make a wrong decision. So what do? I trust in His ability. So make sure that when you come to a place of faith, that's where it is. This is why people never really arrive sometimes in a place of faith, because their talk is more, and what they're looking at is more about them than God. No, this is God. God's going to do this. David goes on to say, he said, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This guy's standing. Now, David's out there. David's out, this guy's standing however far apart. They're far enough apart that, you know, they're going to run at each other. So there's some distance. But they're hearing clear enough. And David, look, God, how are you going to get delivered my hand? He didn't say, I'm going to come over there and beat you up, dude. He said, God is going to deliver you into my hand. This is what's going to happen. God's going to do this. See, David's confidence is totally in God and what God will do. This is what God's going to do. He said, I will strike you. Then he said, look, first of all, who delivers you into my hand? God does. Now, when God does this, then I can do my work. Then I'm going to do mine, okay? And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that what? There's a God in Israel. See, David doesn't say, so I become popular and people will want me as king. Many people want to be delivered for their own glorification. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to glorify God in our bodies. You know, God wants you well. Why? Because it glorifies God. It's to glorify God. It's not to glorify me. It's to glorify God. God wants us well, so He is glorified. Not just, we say, well, you know, He wants you well. He wants you well. People just want to be well. But there's a purpose in it. So God's glorified. God wants to heal you. This is why we want to get God involved in things, because we want Him glorified. If I'm just doing things on my own, well, then who's going to get the glory for that? It's going to be me. That's why God wants to do things that are outside the ordinary. This is where divine healing comes in. It's outside the ordinary. God gets glorified. A person gets delivered by God. God gets glorified. I'm going to trust God. Then David went on to say, verse 47, then all the assembly, then everybody's assembled here. Everybody that's at this place, there's two nations of people. Everybody that's here shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hands. So he said, everybody here is going to know this. You don't win battles just by swords and spears. Everybody's going to know this today. See, when a man of faith comes out, he's operating. He's giving God the opportunity to demonstrate himself so people can see God at work. This is what standing in faith does. Standing in faith gives God the opportunity to demonstrate himself. True faith, if I'm standing in faith, then God is going to do something that men can't do. When you stand in faith, it's not, you're not, if you're expecting a natural happening, then you're not in faith. It's not going to be a natural. There's no need to stand in faith for a natural happening. It's for supernatural. David said, this is, it's going to be proved here. Sword and spears don't win battles. Everybody's going to know that God was in on this thing. You know, sometimes people, you know, one of the things that God did, God, you know, in a sense, he sends David down there, a small guy. Now, understand, David's small. David is probably, if we would take Saul was the big man, he's a head taller than everybody else in Israel. When he became king, he's a head taller than everybody. So that makes, you know, and I said before, they said the average height was probably about 5'10". So David might have been below that. Might have been below that height. And really, you know, God chooses many times the most unlikely of people. And you know why? So he can be glorified. See, I see this all the time. Did you ever notice that Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he told them that not many wise were chosen, not many, you know, talking about men and their abilities, about God's choosing people. You know, when God chose me to teach, I used to talk to them, why on earth would she? There are people could do this better. There are people. But you know what? God really does. God, many times, is looking at what is insignificant so he can reveal his glory. And so we need to understand. God put that. David understood his position. David understood that he was not in this position because he was great. He understood why he was in this position. God did this. God put me out here in this position because he wants to prove what he can do. Because I can't lick the giant. If God ain't in this, we having a funeral before sundown. This is it. I'm out here. I'm going to do my thing. I'm coming out here. But God's going to win this thing, and the reason he did it. See, this is really a whole setup that glorifies God. And it's supposed to encourage us. This is why when they just turn it into a little children's story, because, you know, everybody faces things in life, and to us there's things that are giants. You know, to what might be much of a giant to one person is a whole lot of a giant to another person. It all depends on what you have ever faced before or what you can do. I mean, there's things that used to be giants to me aren't anymore. But at one time, certain things were giants to me because I had not faced those things and I was learning faith. And to me, it was big things. I remember standing in faith for some times. I look back now and say, boy, the simplest things. But I remember how then I really... It was a struggle of faith for me. It was a struggle to stand. It was work. Man, like I was doing everything I could to keep my trust in God and not, you know, get off and quit. I was doing it. And I look today, I think, but you know, that was a giant nonetheless. That was a giant at that time. That was an obstacle that was huge for me to overcome. And when I look at today, it's like, oh, well, we can go ahead and do that. And that's like with David. David had faced obstacles before, developed. He's out here standing here. He had beat the lion and the bear. And he's got this Philistine now is standing in front of him. But David is convinced that God will deliver him. And that's it. God's going to do this. God, this whole event is taking place is to glorify the God of Israel. You know, Israel, in a sense here, they're not following God because all this fear of not wanting to deal with this Goliath to begin with. They have a king who hasn't followed God, hasn't been obeyed, lost his anointing, you know, from the standpoint he's out here and he's causing himself a ton of trouble. All these are going on. But God's not against Israel. God's not trying to help the Philistines win. I mean, I believe God got him to bring their champion out there just so he could knock him out. Get the Philistines down here with that guy. Get him down here. Because what God wants to do, God wants to get his people back over in the areas of faith. God is always trying to lead his people to faith, to trust him. That's what he's always trying to do. He's always trying to, and this is really the picture here. This is where people miss it. People get out of line with God and things happen, and the first thing that people do, something bad comes along. Well, God's doing this because, and they don't realize these things are going up. These are trying to, God wants to bring people to the place. God wants to bring us to the place of trust. He's not going to work against us. He's going to work for us. These things that we might consider giants coming against us, these are things God wants to overcome in your life where you can trust him. He'll always lead his people to trust. He's always trying. And this is what he's doing. He's not against Israel here. He's trying to get his people back. He's trying to use David to bring Israel back on top in their land again. They're not on top. They're not the people on top in their own land. He's trying to bring them back to the top again. So even though Saul did all that he did, God's not against Israel. God's not even against Saul. God's not trying to hurt Saul. Saul's done what he's done to himself. God even wants to use David's anointing to help Saul. He's doing it right now. Saul's a king. He's going to use David and his anointing to make Saul look good. God's not against Saul. See, people miss a lot about what this story is about. God is always trying to deliver his people. That's when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin in 1987 and told him, he said, I always try to help my people as much as I can. He's always trying to find a way to bless his people. They might be out of line, they might have done things out of line, but he ain't the one that's against them. The one that's against him is called Lucifer, the devil, Satan, whatever. He is the one who is trying to bring the trouble. God is the deliverer. And as we go on and look, if we go on in this study, you'll find instead of Saul taking advantage of David's, how God wanted to use David, he opposed David and ended up opposing himself. It did nothing but hurt Israel. Kept giving the enemy the advantage over him. If he would have stuck with David, it would have bought some blessing and would have helped him out. But he stayed pretty ignorant of the fact. So, anyhow, verse 48 it says, so it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So he's running toward him. And really, here we have, we're talking about faith again. Faith. Many people are trying to use faith as a defensive weapon rather than an offensive weapon. David runs toward the guy. David is going to go out to meet him. The Bible talks about faith as a shield. But you know what? You don't need the shield if you ain't going into the battle. Faith will protect you. But also it says the Word of God is a sword. And your faith in the Word, it is not only a shield to you, it is a sword. It is to use against the enemy. David goes out after him. David's making the offensive. God's going to deliver. If you believe God's going to deliver your hand, you're not afraid of it. That's why you don't have to be afraid of sickness and disease and afraid of stuff. I was around people already. I've been out on the mission field and people get, and I was at places and that stuff, and you got to lay hands on people, and sometimes laying hands on people, I'm going to tell you, they got, people always ain't the cleanest the things and the diseases and stuff that people got. But you have to have, you can't be timid in front of people. You want to inspire people to faith. And if they see in any way that you're cowardice towards sickness and disease, you know what? They ain't going to believe your God's a healer. If you're afraid to touch them, they'll know. They'll know that you don't believe in your God. They'll know it. If you're afraid of sickness and disease in any way, if you're afraid of it, It's going to show. David says, God will deliver you into my hand. And you know what? He runs down there like he's going to do it. He runs down to the guy. Well, I'm going down there because I'm going to be cutting his head off. I said I was. Let's go down there to do it. Let's go get the job done. We're heading down there. So he heads toward him. He runs down. It says, then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So understand, David's running down there. Now, David hadn't even loaded his sling. He's running down there and loading his sling, you know. But you know, really it shows you a sign of David is in no kind of panic. He's in no kind of, you know, it really, this is one thing. See, faith, true faith will always have you at peace. You're not in faith if you're wringing your hands. David's confident. He's running down there to this guy. He's loading. You know, it's like loading your gun. You don't know that I'm putting the ammo in the clip, loading the weapon. He's running down there. He's totally confident. He's not afraid. He goes down. So he lets the stone go, hits Goliath in the forehead, said the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. But, you know, Alvis tells this story, and every story never tells us what happened to the armor bearer, but I bet he got hat. When he saw the big boy fall, unless the big boy fell on him, might have killed him. Either one thing, either he's laying under the giant, or he has done, taken off, he's gone, man. The big boy fell. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Said, therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Changed everything. That day, they knew that there was a God in Israel. I can just imagine they were looking. Could you imagine what happened when David, this smaller guy, come out and their big guy there? Can you imagine what they were up there saying? Can you imagine what they're talking and what they're doing? And they're listening to this. They're listening down there. And David and these guys, I bet when David told the guy, you know, told Goliath, hey, I'm going to have your head. God's going to deliver you into my hand. I could just hear them up there talking. I'll tell you what, I bet there was a total stun. I bet they were, when they saw Goliath drop, it was probably, they didn't even see the stone that hit him. He just, all of a sudden he drops. And they're like, ugh. And then this little dude goes and takes Goliath's own sword and kills him with it and cuts his head off. It's so bad enough. The guy don't show up with the weapons he needs to cut his head off and uses his own sword. You know, that is about as humiliating as you can get. You don't get any more humiliating than that. It is bad enough to lose, but to have your own sword cut your head off. These are things, in their culture and wars, this is absolute humiliation. This is absolute humiliation. It says, when David ran, he stood over the Philistine, cut his head, said, and when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, said they fled. But I bet you there was just a stun of silence. They were like, probably, how did we go for 40 days of these guys running from one man to, oh my God, they send the kids out and kill us. There's a God in Israel. So everybody's a running now. Everybody's taking off. But so in verse 52 it says, now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharam, and he says, even as far as Gath and Ekron. He says, then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered They plundered their tents. So, if you remember what Goliath said, now you find out the Philistines were so confident that they were going to win, they never realized, you know, that about the promise they made. And there's one thing, you always find the devil a lie. Because if we go back, 1 Samuel in 17, where we were at verse 9, when Goliath said this, if he's able to fight with me, this individual you sent, and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if we prevail against them and kill them, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Well, they didn't keep their word, did they? See, they thought they had it made. They thought, we got it. Hey, we got the secret weapon. You know, we have the Enola Gay with the bomb. You know, we're going to drop this. We got it. And they show up and they send out this little weapon and it kills them. It kills the big guy and it's like they don't know what to do. So they lied. They didn't turn themselves over to them as servants. So, you know, that's why it's one thing is Saul, really, I guess through Israel's integrity, Israel looked at really from the standpoint that I guess they planned on following was true. That's why they were so skeptical about, you know, today, I mean, if you went out there and they send one guy down, he says, come down and fight, you know, they get a sniper up on a hill to shoot the guy. Okay, next. Or, you know, we'll send a jet down and drop a bomb on him or something. I don't know. But, you know, but at that time, Israel must have, you know, they must have taken that seriously. Saul must have taken that very seriously. Well, they didn't. When the Philistines didn't want to become servants of Israel. So they took off, but I'm sure there's a lot of them died trying to get away. And we'll finish with the end of the chapter here today. And it says, and David, he says, he took the head of the Philistines in verse 54. He says, and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. In other words, he took Goliath's armor. So he took all his armor stuff. He put that in his tent, but he took the head to Jerusalem. He said, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. He said, then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hands. I mean, he's still walking around with a head, this guy's head. You know what? You know, you got this bloody head you're carrying around. You know, this is one of the things why what Christianity has done to the Bible. They've made it these cute little stories and these cute little things. And this is why Christians have a hard time, because I'm going to tell you, you live in a life in this world and it ain't cute. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is why people don't make it. They don't realize that you're in a battle. You got an enemy that's going to fight every dirty trick and do anything he can to pervert, to kill, to do whatever he can. And if you don't know that, if you're not a fighter, that's why the passives don't make it. The devil eats the passives. You can't be passive. Faith is aggressive. Faith is aggressive. Faith don't wait for something to overrun you. Faith goes to the battle. And that's what we need to learn. We need to learn this. You know, David's walking down here. He's carrying a bloody head. This is a big head. He's carrying it around. So, he's carrying this guy's head with him. Sort of changes the image a little bit of what we thought of David. You know, it's like people, Jesus, all the pictures of Jesus. He's just, you know, he's a little wimpy guy hanging on a cross. He always looks like, really, a gay. He's in these poses on the cross. And, or he looks feminine and carrying a sheep and he's barefooted. They do. They make him, you know. He's got this nice little perfect white complexion, which he didn't have. He was a Jew, and he didn't have this perfectly little white complexion.
They have him out there with his blue eyes and okay, anyhow, but you know, they have this picture, and see, they get this picture of David, and you know, David is not some little wimpy guy. So he's carrying the Philistine head in his hand. He says, "And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem.'" Now, I do believe is one thing. I do think that Saul, after talking with David, David turned his armor back on him. I believe Saul did believe that this guy, he was going to lick the giant. I really believe he did. I don't think he'd have sent him out there if he wouldn't. I think Saul did believe. I think Saul knew what faith was. Saul knew what faith was. And he might have at first, because he sent him out there. I believe that Saul, he really did think that David would kill Goliath. Now, we see here something. We see that, now Saul, there's one thing we need to know. Saul asked about whose son this was. And one of the things that, one thing, he didn't need that information from the standpoint because his dad's family is going to become tax exempt. But why he acts like he doesn't know who David was, I'm not quite sure why this is stated here. I've never found any reason or anybody talk about it, because David had already been, Saul had already been sent to Saul from Jesse. He knew what he was. He knew who he was. He wasn't. They almost, in a way this is stated here, it's stated almost as if he had never met David before, that he didn't know who David was. But he did know who David was before this incident. We'd already read about it. So he did. I don't know if this is stated from the standpoint, and these things are made here like this, is because of Saul is getting the information to fulfill the promise that he made. Of making him tax exempt. And the way it's stated, it almost seems to be stated as if he didn't know who he was, but we know that he knew who David was, and he had sent to Jesse. Now, it's one of the things, Saul may have not known personally who David's father was. His people might, we need to understand this, that his servants or whoever it was worked for him. They were the ones who got David to come. They told him they knew who a guy was. But that doesn't mean that Saul knew who Jesse was. His servants did. They knew who Jesse was. And it could be being stated from the standpoint, because Saul really didn't know who Jesse was. Who's this guy's father? Who is he? He may have not known him. His servants did. His servants knew who he was and got him to come to Saul. So he may have been asking from that standpoint, but we do know that he didn't know David. He knew who David was. So why all these things were stated here the way they were, I really don't have any revelation, and I really don't think it matters. It really don't change the thing with the story. Some people might get caught there on that thing, but it's one of the things is because Saul didn't know who David was to begin with. They told him about David, and they brought him David. They went and got David for him. And but we'll start next week. We'll start into the thing, and we'll start to look at what happens afterwards, and really Saul causing himself problems. But we see really David. David's a guy of faith. We're going to find out some things about David as we go on and hear this about integrity and things that are so important about faith. Kenneth E. Hagin used to say this, if your word's no good, your faith won't work. If your word isn't any good, your faith won't work. This is where people have a lot of problems. He said, there's number one, he said, if you tell people you'll do things and stuff like that, and you don't do them, then he said, people are going to know you're a liar, and he said, you're going to know you're a liar. You're going to know you can't trust your own word. So he said, you'll have trouble standing in faith. This is why you want to be a person of integrity. You want to make sure, that's why the scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no's no. In other words, what you say yes about, what you say no about, keep it. You tell somebody you ain't going to do it, then leave it at that. They try to hound you into it and say, no, I told you no. I used to do that with my kids. You know, they'd tell them they ain't allowed to do something. They used to come out, oh, why can't you? I used to, if you asked me one more time, and then I would always say, well, now, you know, you were supposed to be able to do such and such. You're not going to be able to do that. If you asked me one more time, I said no. You got to learn to be yes and your yeses and your noes with your noes. And this is why people, this is why a lot of people have a hard time with their own faith. Because they say things, but they never mean what they say. And you can't do that and have strong faith. Doesn't mean at times we don't make a mistake or do something. But I tell you, be a person of your word. That's one thing that I was always really glad about with raised in my family with my dad. My dad was a man of his word. If my dad said he was going to do something, man, he did it. I mean, he said he would do something, and he was like Kenneth Hagin used to say, a spiritual pilgrim swears to their own hurt and changes not. They swear to their own hurt and change not. In other words, if you said you were going to do it, do it. Even if you feel, well, it's going to cost me, keep your word. Because I'll tell you, your integrity, God, you know, even if you messed up, Kenneth Hagin said there's things that on his life that he had given his word on and he wished he wouldn't have, but he said he did it. He said, because of honoring your word, God will bless you for honoring your word. And not honoring your word is going to shut the door to God blessing you. Some people wonder why. I don't understand. This don't work for me or that don't. Why God don't. They don't realize. They've told people things. They've said things. They've not done them. They haven't kept their word. And they don't realize it's affecting them down the road. They have back here, they aren't keeping their word on things. And down here, they want everybody else to keep their word. They want God to keep his word. But they're not people of their word. Make sure you're a person of your word. You know, make sure you do that. We're going to find out that David really is a person of his word, and he walks in integrity. These are huge, huge lessons that we can learn. Really, this is, and I like these stories because this is faith in action. This is not just today. One big problem that we have had in the field of faith, is it's been mostly talk and little action. Jesus. Talked about seeing people's faith. He could see it. James said, I'll show you my faith. James wrote and said, you know, you say this, but I'm going to show you my faith. This is what I'm going to do. I'll show you my faith by what I do. What I do is my faith on the outside. Faith is not just something. If it's not ever manifest on the outside, it will never come to pass. It's got to manifest on the outside. And it's not just through speech. It's through actions. One of the ways it does, your speech is good. Your speech is something on the outside. Saying the right thing. David said the right thing, didn't he? He spoke the right things. He said, God will deliver me. He spoke the right things. It's one thing, saying the right things are very helpful because it'll promote you to do the right thing. You're encouraging yourself. One of the reasons you want to speak faith is not just for other people. It's for you. Say the right things. The right things encourage you. The right things help you. So, you know, be your own best friend anyhow. Do that. Some people are not their own best friends. They say the wrong things. They hurt themselves and they're blaming other people. But really, they're not a good friend of themselves. Say the right things. That will help you, encourage you. It's like I always say, be your own best cheerleader. You might not have anybody else to be your cheerleader, but you be your cheerleader. You know, David, people wanted to discourage him, but he didn't. He kept saying the right thing. And he didn't have a cheerleading section, but he was his cheerleading section. He kept saying the right thing. And then, you know what? He ended up doing the right thing because he kept saying the right thing. So say the right things. That will help encourage you to do what's right. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord God, for the wonderful things that we've seen here in the Scripture that help our faith. That help us. And Lord God, I want to thank you that you're working, that each one of us today here, Lord God, you want to take us to a higher place in confidence in you, Lord God. Lord God, not in what we can do or what we can accomplish, but what you will do for us. Father God, I thank you that you'll show us and teach us how to do our part. But Father God, we want to thank you without a shadow of a doubt. You're a faithful God. You will always do your part. And we want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, that we can always trust in you. Thank you that we can always have confidence in you. And I'm so glad you're always on our side. You're never working against us. You're for us. Hallelujah. As Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. We are never forsaken by God. I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.